Let me tell you something in a minute. Hold up your Bible. Repeat after me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. And I can have what it says I can have. Tonight I will be taught the incorruptible, indestructible seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, 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 never. In Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen. Please remain standing. Open your Bibles tonight to 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. I'm trying to get there. Just give me a second. One-handed. 1 Samuel chapter 30, and I want to begin reading tonight at verse 1. 1 Samuel 30, beginning at verse 1. I want to title my message tonight, and Lindsay, if you'll write this down for Glenda later, I'm going to title my message Ziklag. And the way you spell that is Z-I-K-L-A-G, Ziklag, Ziklag. 1 Samuel 30, verse 1. And it came to pass, when Jesus and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. They cried till they could cry no more. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam and the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed. I want to read that again. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. God bless the reading of His Word. Take someone's hand next to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we bow before You in this place, we come asking for Your anointing. I ask for unction to preach. And I pray, God, You'd open the hearts, minds, and ears of each one here and those that shall listen by CD and the Internet. We pray that, God, You would send great revival to this church, Lord. From now throughout this summer and the remainder of the year, let us be in revival, Lord. Let the fire fall. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I don't want you to think this is going to become a common practice, but this message I preach to you tonight, you might hear it plus some more on Sunday again. I've never had this happen before where the Lord had me preach something, the same thing twice. And I know Sunday I added some. There was some more that He gave me, some I didn't have time for on Wednesday night. But you may hear this again on Sunday, at least in part, but you may not. I don't know. That's just the way I'm feeling led right now. So I'm just giving you a little warning. That doesn't mean I'm saying it's all right to take off Sunday, because it's not. Not at all. You will not be on the same page. That's the danger of missing church. You're not on the same page with what God is doing in the body. And the body moves further down the road, and you've got to play catch up then. But in this story, as I talk to you about Ziklag, I want to tell you about Ziklag. First of all, David lived at Ziklag. The reason he lived there, he wasn't yet the king. But if you remember in the Bible, it tells in 1 Samuel how that David and Jonathan, who was the son of King Saul, were best friends. And Jonathan warned his best friend, his best buddy David, who had killed Goliath a few years before, said, "My daddy is jealous of you and he's going to kill you." And in fact, he threw a javelin at David and tried to kill him. And God, by God's grace, it missed just barely, because Saul was an expert, a man of war and javelin thrower. And he took off running. And he fled to this place. He actually fled to a part of Judah that was overrun and overtaken by the Philistines. You remember Goliath, he was a Philistine, right? He ran to the enemy, so to speak, because he couldn't stay in Israel because the king was after him. And he fled there and he became friends with a guy there named Achish. And he was the son of the king. I won't even try and say his daddy's name. It's something with an M. But he became friends with Achish. And Achish was from Gath. You remember Goliath was from Gath. That's kind of interesting. And they might have became friends because people in Gath were afraid of Goliath and his brothers too. They were bullies. So they became friends. And he was friends with the son of the king again. And the king gave David, and he had a huge company that had gone with him. And that's what I told you to remind me of. You hadn't reminded, but I'm reminded myself. The Bible says that everybody that went with him was a broke, busted, and disgusted bunch. They were the sick, the old, the lame, and crippled. Now, not everybody, but a lot of that group. And he had what you would call a ragtag bunch of followers and an army there, but God blessed them. And they grew. In fact, there was 600 men by the time we get to this place that we're reading about now, this place in the Bible. He had over 600 men or soldiers. And he had gone out with the Philistines from Ziklag, the city that was given to him by the king, the daddy of the boy he was friends with there. And he'd gone out with the Philistines on a raiding expedition. And while they were away, the Amalekites came. That was a whole nother country. They came to Ziklag, where David had his palace. Remember, he's not yet king. He's not yet king. Saul's still king. They come and they burn the palace, they burn the city of Ziklag, and they take every one of the women and children away captive. Basically, they did the same kind of thing that ISIS does now. You know what ISIS does? They come into Christian villages and they'll kill any men there and boys, but they'll take the girls and the women away and they'll make them become sex slaves or sell them or whatever. And that's basically what the Amalekites did at this time. And then let me tell you this about Ziklag. Something interesting about Ziklag is where it's located. Whenever you read about a place in the Bible, a town, it's always notable to notice and find out where it's located and anything unique about it. The unique thing about Ziklag is that it was located in what is called the Negev. They call it not Negev, but the Negev. And that's the desert region of Israel. And so it's located in the desert region. It's also hilly there. It's a dry, arid region. It's located there, this desert region of Judah. And then a fourth thing about Ziklag, the meaning. Whenever you see a name in a Bible, they always have a significant meaning. And I did some study on the meaning of Ziklag. And Ziklag is actually a joining together of two different words, Ziklag. It literally means, excuse me, it literally means melted and cast or formed. That's interesting because it was at Ziklag prior to this time, some great time prior to this, that the Israelites first began smelting iron and making iron weaponry was at this place. And so it was called Ziklag, which meant melting and casting, because that's what they did. They would melt down the ore at this place many years before, maybe a few hundred before, and then they would make it into swords or maybe even into plow points or who knows what, but in all kinds of different instruments. All this is going to come into play in just a minute. Stay with me. You still there? As I looked at this, word Ziklag, I began to think about it. This word Ziklag, it means melted and cast or formed. In other words, it's a word that means to take molten iron and then harden it and make it into something useful. Can you imagine how David felt when he got back home after this raiding expedition? He can't wait to tell his wives about and children about how God had blessed them and what all they had done. And as they come over the hill, and they see on the horizon smoke rising. And they think, oh no. And they ride their horses or camels as fast as they can to get there. And when they get there, it's too late. The enemy has taken their wives and their children, Tim, their grandchildren, taken them hostage. And it's ISIS. No different. ISIS isn't new, okay? These people been acting like that for a long time. And can you imagine how he felt? He was devastated. You know, you read in our scripture, in verse 6, it says, and great David was greatly distressed. And then you read a couple of verses before that, it says they had cried till they could cry no more. There in verse 4, they wept until they had no more power to weep. Have you ever cried till your tears run out? I have. Lord have mercy. That's rough, isn't it? I actually gotten sick before. Threw up. So tore up. Have you ever been there? That's where David was. That's where he's at right now, so to speak, in our story. And he's not the only one. He's got 600 soldiers. And they're crying too. They see the bodies of all the old folks that ISIS, the Amalekites, that want chopped up in pieces. They see their sons chopped up in pieces. And all the girls are gone. And they feel totally devastated. He was melted. He was melted right then. The iron was melted. Let me tell you something, my friends. You can be a strong man. You can be a strong woman. But I'm going to tell you, every one of us, at some time in our life, we're going to come to our Ziklag. We're going to come to a place where no matter how strong we are, it's going to melt you down. And you will melt. You say, I won't do that. Simon Peter, I hear Simon Peter whispering in my ear in the Bible where he said, when the Lord said, one of you will betray me this night. He said, Lord, I'll never betray you. I'll die before I betray you. And then he said, before the cock crows three times, you'll deny me three times. Before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times. And he did just that. Melted. Melted down. Nothing left. No strength. No structure. No foundation. Or I won't say no foundation. No form. Nothing holding him up. He just melts. And along with him, 600 men. And they're so upset, they said, let's kill David because it's his fault. Let's kill the preacher. It's his fault this has happened. If we had not gone out over here, they could not have come in and overtaken the city. Let's stone David. Let me tell you, every one of us are going to face our Ziklag. That's that melting. But I want to tell you something else happens at Ziklag. There comes a turning point. Now you hear me. When you come to your Ziklag, there's going to be a moment of decision. And you have to decide, I either give up and give in, or instead I give it all I got. And that's when you're cast. That's when you're hardened. That's when you're formed. You know, I go back to to the bad news we received about Jesse. And they said, good chance she won't be able to see, she won't be able to hear. 2 weeks before she's born, she had a little short arms and legs. Showed it on the 3D. She'd probably have heart problems. Don't you want to go on and abort her? No. And I melted down. And my wife melted down. But her first, and then I followed. The wife sometimes goes first. When you got a Holy Ghost wife like I got. And something rose up in her and then in me said, no, we're not going to take this, devil. And we started praying and believing, and y'all started praying and believing. And those prayers come in powerful agreement, and that baby was born with long arms and long legs. She's in the top three quarters for her age and height. She's going to be way taller than her daddy. Of course, I know some of you say that ain't saying much. I'm 5'10 with my boots on now. I feel good about that. I take them off, I'm about 5'9", you know, okay. But let me tell you something. God did something there. We took her to the heart doctor after she was born. Nothing wrong with her heart. She can see fine. She sees everything. She don't miss nothing. In school, a month ago, she had already reached the minimum she had to reach to pass to the first grade. She's in regular classes. She's way past that now. And that's been with her being deaf in one ear and only about partial hearing in the other ear. We're going to get that fixed, God willing. It's going to be done in July. We'll have that taken care of. But what I'm going to tell you, when you come to your zigzag, there will be that melting. But then there comes that point of decision. You have to decide, am I going to just let this destroy me? Or am I going to rise up from this? And David decided he was going to rise up. He was going to rise up. Can I tell you a couple other things real quick? You'll have to hear the rest of it Sunday. What is a zigzag? It's a testing. It's when something precious is taken away from you. Something precious like maybe your health or your family or your peace. Or our joy, our livelihood, our reputation, our self-respect, our confidence. Zigzag is when we have something precious taken from us. And the question then is, what will we do? How will we respond at our zigzag? And I'm going to tell you, that's real important. Because how you respond will set the stage for the rest of your life. If you respond correctly, it can set you up to go to great and mighty things. And God, if you respond the wrong way and just give in, you're going to be stuck for a while in the quicksand, in the meltedness of zigzag. What did David do? I think he gives us the answer. You look right there at the end of verse 6. But David encouraged. I said it like that on reason. Encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. To encourage yourself means to stir up your courage. It's to stir up your courage. It's to stir up your fight. And we have to do the same thing. We encourage ourselves in the Lord, like David. When you come to your zigzag, you have to stir up your faith. Sometimes you're not going to have a cheerleader. Sometimes you can't reach Pastor Tom. He's on the river fishing. Or he's somewhere you can't get a hold of him. Or you can't get a deacon or a Sunday school teacher on the phone. And you don't have anybody but you and the Holy Ghost. I tell you, that's enough. You do like David. You encourage yourself in the Lord. Let me tell you something. You'll grow when you do that. And you'll learn how to encourage others then. Hallelujah. First thing he did in encouraging himself and the Lord is this. And this is what you do. First, you got to take a walk down memory lane. I've been watching all the prom pictures on Facebook. Some of y'all seen these prom pictures. We got some beautiful kids in our church, handsome young men. And it made me go back in my mind, and I remembered what I wore. That tux I wore back then, you wore these kind of fluffy thing, kind of tux. Y'all remember that through there? Lord have mercy, them things was ugly. Cummerbund? I think mine was bright maroon or something. The coat, Lord have mercy, it was ugly. Had them sideburns coming on down here, Jack. My hair on down about right here somewhere. Lord have mercy. I thought I was a cat. I'm going to tell you. I went down memory lane in my mind a little bit. And that's what you got to do when you come to your Ziglag. You got to go down memory lane and remember what God has done before. Remember how God brought you out. Remember how God brought you through. Remember how God was faithful. Remember how He was your bread when you were hungry, your drink when you were thirsty. He fought your enemies for you. He provided all your needs. How God did before. Remember. We let the devil get in our mind and make us think we don't have no history. I tell people I have CRS, can't remember stuff. But I can tell you one thing I remember. Though I don't remember every detail, everything, I can remember God has been good to me. I remember God has blessed me. I remember that God has took me through some deep water. I remember that God has brought me through the fire, and I've passed through the fire. When I come out, you couldn't even smell smoke on me. You couldn't even tell I've been through a trial. Thank God we don't look like what we've been through. So take a walk down memory lane. Number two, worship. Worship. David worshiped the Lord. He worshiped the Lord right there. You read on down. He worshiped God. He put on the ephod and he worshiped God. You worship. You know, a lot of times when we face our Ziglag, people run away from church. They run away from God. I don't want to be around anybody. They told me I have this disease, or my spouse has left me, or I've lost my business, I've gone bankrupt, or my child has gone crazy, or I've gotten in trouble with the law. No, you don't run from God, you run to God. And if the church is the kind of church it ought to be, instead of doing like this, it'll do like this. And it'll say, come on in. Third thing, don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. Sometimes that's all you got. I promise you, when you at Ziglag and you mailed it down, all you got is hope because you can't see nothing but a mess. And sometimes we make the mess, don't we? Sometimes I've made my own Ziglag. I'm a pretty good Ziglag builder. And all we see is a mess. And we say, Lord, what can happen here? Don't lose your hope. Don't let the devil get in between those ears and start doing calisthenics and exercises and aerobics and all of this stuff inside your head. Don't let him occupy real estate in your head. Tell him, get out in Jesus' name. Do you know he's attacked me like that recently? And I've just had to say, I mean, people probably think I'm crazy. I'd just be walking around, get out, Jesus, in the name of Jesus, devil, get out. That's what I was doing Sunday. I opened the doors, had Tim open the doors, and Harry and Keith, everybody, we opened, whoever it was, opened all these doors in here. I was telling the devil to get out. You got to do that. Because you can't allow him to kill your hope. Because if you lose your hope, you defeated there. I wish everybody in church, I wish all 350 people was here to hear this. They may hear it Sunday. Don't lose hope. And I'll tell you, one of the great things you can do is surround yourself with strong Christian people. Stay in God's house. Stay. Live in the Lord's house. Live in the Lord's house. You can come here 24/7. Anytime you want, come here. Lay down on this altar. Sleep in the church if you want to, bless God. And then you surround yourself with good Christian people that's made it through a Ziglag. Amen? Don't go hang out with the winos and the dope heads. They ain't never got out of Ziglag. Number four, go deep into God. Don't lose hope, but go deep into God. The Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. And this is kind of hard to put into words. But you spend time with God every day and you get into a place of worship with God. It might be 15 minutes, it might last for 5 hours. But sometime every day, you get alone with God and you encourage yourself in the Lord. You go deep into God. You go deeper than you've ever gone before. Some people have never raised their hands in church. Some people have never prayed in the Spirit. They've never shouted. Some people have never laid on their face before God and prayed till the morning light came up. Let me tell you, maybe it's time for you to do that if you're in Ziglag. Let me tell you, I never prayed in the Spirit before in my life. Till one night I put a gun to my head, it was going to blow my brains out. And when God told me to put the gun down, I began praying in the Spirit. And I prayed all night long. And God delivered me. Last thing I'll tell you, again, David encouraged himself. I kind of hit on this at the beginning. He talked to himself. He talked to himself. You'd say that's crazy. That's fine. Let me tell you something. He talked to himself and he kept himself from going insane. You know the old song, I've always been crazy, but it's kept me from going insane? It might look crazy to the world, but it'll keep your right mind. And he would talk to himself. What do you mean? He said, self. First of all, it said David encouraged himself, Lord. And this is what I believe happened. He said, first of all, I am David. I am David that slew Goliath. I killed a bear. I killed a lion with my bare hands. I am David. I know who my daddy is, Obed, my granddaddy, and Jesse. And I have been anointed by the prophet to become king one day. I am David. You need to realize who you are. And then I believe he said to himself, I am David, but my father is God Almighty. My father is Jehovah. My God is Jehovah. How can I lose? I love the story about a little boy. You've heard it. Went out with his ball bat and his ball, and he threw up the ball, and he said, I'm the greatest hitter in the whole world. He missed it. Strike one. He said, I'm the greatest hitter in the world. He threw it up. Strike two. Same thing. I'm the greatest hitter in the world. Threw it up again. Third time. Missed it again. Strike three. You're out. He picked the ball up, and he said, wow, I never knew I was the greatest pitcher in the world. You know, you got to encourage yourself. Sometimes you got to be your own cheerleader. You got to remind yourself of what all God has done. You got to stay in God's house. You got to surround yourself with the right people. Make the right decision. Don't ever give up. Our God's too big. Let's all stand. Come on, David. Lindsay, all the praise team, come on. Hallelujah. I want to play a little bit of that Waves of Glory. I really just want the music, no singing on it. I'm sorry, I didn't think about that. I just want the music on it. I feel like God's dealing with some hearts tonight. Every eye closed, every head bowed in this place. You know, the Bible says we're changed from glory to glory as we behold His face. And that's talking about in worship. If you want your attitude to change, if you want your inside to change, your way of thinking to change, the way you're talking, your way of living, you start worshiping God and get in His presence. He'll change us from glory to glory as we behold His face. And sometimes it don't make sense what's going on. We're at Ziglag. We've been off trying to to do something good. And we come, we find everything's devastated and gone. And we like to go back to what was, but what was is not there anymore. We can't go back. And we feel stuck right where we are. But after a while, we realize, I can't go back, but I can't stay where I'm at anymore. I can't stay like this. I can't endure this. I can't live this way. And the Holy Spirit whispers, you must go on. You must go on. You must go ahead. You must go forward. You've been melted down. But now I have cast you, I have hardened you, I have formed you to be something useful. Now go! Go forward. And that's what David did. You read the story. It went and says he pursued the enemy and he caught up to him. He and his 600 men, and they slew all the Amalekites, which were in the thousands, 600 men. They took everything from them. They recovered everything that was lost. Hallelujah. It's a point of decision for some folks tonight. Let's make that decision right now. With every head bowed and every eye closed, just tell the Lord right now where you are. Just say, Lord, I'm making that decision. I'm going to go forward. I won't be stuck. I won't be stuck in this spot anymore. I'm going ahead. God's got a good life for me. I will not be defeated. I will not give up. I will not lose my hope, devil, because I have my hope in God, and He's forever faithful. If you need prayer tonight, we're going to ask you to come on down to the front here. I'm going to ask Lindsay to sing that first verse in the chorus through for us. You just come on down if you need prayer for anything tonight. Come on, Keith, Harry.